And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars. Welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. Today, secrets. Yes, another volume of secrets. And do we have some big secrets to unearth, to unveil, to, well, just to let you know about? These are things, of course, the newspapers, the television news programs, so-called, dare not even mention. Or if they do, they try to hide the truth. But we're in the truth business here. You know, that's always been our career at Power of Prophecy Ministries. We originally, you know, were called Living Truth Ministries. Maybe we should go back to that, because that's what we're in, the truth business. Jesus said that he is the way, the truth, the life. Must be very important if he actually gives himself the name. He describes himself. Would you like to know who Jesus is? He's the truth. Wow, that's pretty powerful, isn't it? Well, the Bible, of course, is truth. And the Bible is the Word of God. And it's interesting that John 1 says Jesus is the Word of God. And, you know, dear friends, that could be a big secret itself to most of the world, because churches today have quit preaching these kinds of things. Just a basic gospel facts. I got a email from my good friend, Pastor Otwell. He has a wonderful church and a church community, some Christians, just lovely people. I've been at his church about three times, I guess, preaching out of East Texas. And Pastor Otwell, he's one of these old-fashioned guys. 72 years young now. His son Rocky continues on, has a great music voice. He preaches too. But of course, Brother Otwell, I mean, when he begins one of those stem-winding speeches, sermons, well, they are speeches, but they're sermons because they're about the Bible and the truth. He really does the job, I'll tell you. Well, in any case, he wrote to me about Pastor Osteen. Osteen, of course, is the pretty boy writing all those books, you know, talking about your better life now or your best life now or some nonsense. He's the guy that went on Larry King, you know, Pastor Osteen. He's out of, what is it, Lakewood Church in Houston, one of the nation's biggest churches, maybe the biggest. I mean, they fill up a stadium, it's a 50 or 60,000 on a Sunday. And then they have millions watching on international TV. Now, you have to understand about Osteen is that watch one sermon and basically you've seen them all. They're all the same thing, but you know, the words change a little bit, but they're basically the same thing. God wants everybody to think positive, look positive, be positive, and good things are going to happen to you. In fact, they're going to happen to the Hindus and the Buddhists and the Muslims and everybody else too. Osteen says he doesn't know anything about the Mormon church or the Jews or the Muslims, and he wants them to live their best life too. But he doesn't, you know, how do you do it? Well, think positive. You know, I guess if you're like a Jew and you say Jesus is a blasphemer deserving of hell, well, just think positive about that, Jew friend. And if a Muslim says, well, Jesus never really was resurrected, we don't believe in a resurrected Jesus, well, that's good. That's positive, my friend. See, that's not the gospel. But in any case, Houston, where the Lakewood Community Church is of Pastor Osteen, Houston has now elected an open lesbian. She lives with her girlfriend, and they're all kissy kissy poo there in Houston. So a lesbian now is the mayor of Houston, Texas. She won the election. Tells you a little bit about Houston. Houston, by the way, is mostly a blue-collar city, and they're all Democrats. Now, you know, when I was a young man, my father was a blue-collar guy, worked at an oil refinery. I had respect for those guys back then, and I still do for working men and women. But I don't when they're Democrats and they promote abortion and homosexuality and all this other stuff. So there's Houston, Texas, blue-collar town of the whole world, and they put in a lesbian mayor. Well, Osteen was invited to her inaugural, the little swearing-in ceremony, to give the prayer, the swearing-in prayer. They always need some symbol of Christianity. Although right now, you know, they're also getting into, you know, who knows, they could have a witch go up and do it. In fact, should have been a witch. But Osteen volunteered to go and be the, you know, like Billy Graham always does. Doesn't matter, you know, who's president. It can be Satan himself. Billy Graham says, oh, let's support this man. He is a man of God. Bill Clinton was a man of God. Nixon was a man of God. I mean, I promise you, if Beelzebub was elected president of the United States, Billy Graham would say, this man is a wonderful man of God, a leader of the church. Oh, yes, a pillar of Christianity. Well, Osteen is the same way, of course. So Osteen gave the prayer, and here's what Otwell said that he said. He said, we praise our Almighty Father for raising this woman up for such a time as this. We praise the Almighty Father for raising this woman up, this lesbian mayor. And then he says, we ask that the supernatural powers of God be given to her to run this city. And, you know, I wrote back to Pastor Otwell. I said, now, you know, I was sort of tongue in cheek. Pastor, you're sort of hard on these people. Pastor Otwell thought it was, you know, a terrible thing. I said, you have to understand who Osteen's Almighty Father is. And you have to understand who is the God of these supernatural powers. Now, we know it's not Jesus, because Jesus, you know, would never raise up a flaming lesbian to be leader of anything, except maybe a revived Sodom and Gomorrah. And God would never give his supernatural powers to this lesbian to do anything in running a city. And since Osteen never once mentioned the name of Jesus Christ in praying, then we can assume that his Almighty Father and God was being acknowledged. And his name, of course, is Lucifer. So give the guy credit. He didn't blaspheme Jesus. He just gave credit to his Almighty Father and God, which is for Osteen and this lesbian mayor, Lucifer. I think that's perfectly fitting. An American city like Houston, Texas, where there's a porno bookshop and film place on every corner, it seems like, and strip place. Well, I think it's just perfect. Don't you, friends? I think every city in America ought to admit that Lucifer is their God. And the pastors of those great cities ought to pray to Lucifer every day because they serve him and not God. So let's just get real and be honest about it all. If you're going to serve God, the Bible says, then serve him. But if you're going to serve Baal, then serve him. Don't be divided in your opinion. The Bible says a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. In fact, God actually says in the book of Revelation, it would be better that you be either hot or cold. But if you're lukewarm, he'll spit you out of his mouth. Spew you, the Bible says. Can you imagine God spewing you out of his mouth? He finds it sickening. Have you ever, you know, took a sip of milk and then suddenly realized it was clabbered, that it was spoiled? Ugh! You spit it out of your mouth. Spewed it out of your mouth. I've done that before. It's what God does. You see, it actually, now this is a strange thing. It would be better to be a prostitute or a drunkard than a hypocrite who gets up there and spouts the name of God or our Almighty Father, but praises lesbianism and homosexuality at the same time. even claiming that God raised up. Now, I think Osteen, to be honest with you, I was sort of tongue-in-cheek there. I believe he really was referring to Jesus. And that's what makes what he did really, actually, blasphemy. When you attribute, in fact, I think this is very, very much, very much, it could be the unpardonable sin. When you attribute something to Satan of God, or vice versa, you know, he's giving God credit for raising up a lesbian to be a leader of America. Giving God credit, thanking God. I think that might be the unpardonable sin. I don't know if Osteen is saved or can be saved now. I know you're going to say, oh, Tex, what a horrible thing. Anybody can be saved. No, they can't. The Bible says God chooses who will be saved and who will go to hell. And it's done from the foundation of the world. He already knows your name, whether your name is written in the book of life of the Lamb. That's what it says in Revelation. But there are instances, and I know I'm a believer in eternal salvation, but I'll tell you something. There are instances when God will blot out your name out of the book of life. Now, all our good Baptist friends out there, I'm non-denominational myself. I'm just a Christian Bible believer. I believe in the King James. I'm old-fashioned. Now, some of my Baptist friends may write to me and say, no, it doesn't matter. You can blaspheme Jesus and the Holy Spirit. You can call God bad names and profanity. I mean, you can go out and have 10 mistresses, and you can take the Bible and urinate on it. It doesn't matter. You still go to heaven. If one time in your life back then you believed in Jesus. Shut up. I don't believe that at all. I think you thought you believed in Jesus. You may have even mouthed it. And for a little while, you might have even thought about it being true. But in the book of John, the Gospel of John, the Bible, it says something very interesting. When they saw the miracles Jesus had done, you know, the bread and the loaves, they loved the guy. They loved God in the form of Jesus. They said, wow, we believe in him. But in John, it says that Jesus received them not. They believed in him because of the miracles they had seen, but he received them not because he knew what was in the heart of every man. You can't be a wicked person and say, yeah, I believe in Jesus or walk the altar without totally changing your heart and becoming a new man in God, becoming born again in spirit and in truth. We get back to the truth. If it's not the truth, you can act it. You can pretend it. You can masquerade all you want to. You can even go to seminary and become a preacher. You can become America's preacher, or Rick Warren, or an Osteen, or Billy Graham. God doesn't care what the world thinks about you. You can say, well, I'm on the 10 most admired list. My name's Billy Graham, Osteen, Rick Warren. When you get to heaven, you know, you got those out, all those polls and surveys. He didn't care about that. He didn't operate on surveys. You got to understand. Jesus said, when the Son of Man returns, that's him, will he find faith on planet Earth? It's going to get so few. Paul said things will wax worse and worse until the end comes, with men deceiving and being deceived. One of the greatest deceits of all is for a so-called Christian pastor of a church that has 50 or 60,000 attending on a Sunday to get up and thank God for raising up a lesbian to be mayor of a city. Jonah went into the city of Nineveh and told the people there, including probably the mayor, the leaders, repent now or you're going straight to hell. God is going to destroy this city and you with it. Think about that. Jonah went into Nineveh and preached to them and said, God is going to destroy you if you don't repent. I'm telling you, they all repented. I'm sure it surprised Jonah. In fact, the Bible says that he didn't even like the people of Nineveh that he preached to. He only preached there because Jesus made him. God makes you do a lot of things you don't want to do. I've done a lot of things that I didn't want to do. God made me do them. And then later on, I found out, wow, God's a lot smarter than me. He's a lot wiser than me. He knew I needed to do that. Wow. In retrospect, I think from now on, I'm going to start obeying God and following his plan for my life. My little puny plan had a lot of errors and defects and flaws in it, but his plan is perfect. Nineveh repented. What if Osteen had gone up there and said, God wants Houston to repent, and you, lesbian mayor, he wants you to repent? He said, well, Tex, he would have offended them. He would have made them feel bad. Why? Well, that'd be just terrible for a pastor to say something like that. Really? Do you find fault with Jonah? God told him what to say. He told Jeremiah. He told Isaiah. All of them, they said exactly these kinds of things. Under the command of God. And I'm sure the people there were wagging their tongues. What a horrible person that Elijah is. What a horrible man Isaiah is. How dare him? The audacity. And I'm sure they would have said that about Osteen too. And I suspect that his 60,000 attendance on Sunday would have suddenly dramatically fallen off. I suspect that many of the people attending his church are lesbians and homosexuals. They know they'll never be judged for their sin. But they will be judged for their sin, as will Osteen, because payday is coming for everyone. It's called Judgment Day. And there is a judge. And it is appointed, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 9, for every person to die one time. You don't get a second or third or fourth chance like the New Agers and the occultists say in reincarnation. The Masons believe in reincarnation too. But that's not so. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 9, it is appointed for a man once to die. Afterward, the judgment. Now, isn't that good language? I like that. There's no beating around the bush. It's appointed. God has appointed it. You will die. Listen to me. You hear my voice? I'm Tex Morris. I'm 65 years of age. I'm going to die. I don't know how old you are, but you're going to die too. It's appointed. You have a destiny. And I know something. God knows the very day, the minute, the moment I will draw my last breath. And he knows yours too. It's already appointed. You don't know it. You may have your suspicions, but you don't know it. And you can jump in front of a freight train and says, yes, I do, because I'm going to take my life. But who knows? You may fall between the tracks. The train passes over you and you're still alive. You don't know for sure, but God knows. Okay, we're going to have some secrets now. I got into the preaching mode there. I don't mind that every once in a while. In fact, I sort of enjoy it. I think I might start just a preaching program. But I don't know if I could get 60,000 people to show up every Sunday. What do you think, folks? Or Saturday, whenever I do it. I might just do it on Saturday. You know, I believe you should preach whatever day God wants you to preach. But listen to me. Do you think we could get 60,000? Jerry over there, my production engineer, you think we get 60,000 people? No, we don't, really. Surely 60,000 people are interested in judgment and about sin and those. You don't think so? Jerry says, and he's shaking his head. He looks sort of sad about it, but he's shaking his head. You know, I think Jerry's right. But I know something. Jerry, here, listen to this. This is an amazing thing. Did you know everyone will show up that God has appointed to show up? If I were to announce today, Sunday, or Saturday, or Friday, I'm going to be at Texas Stadium here, Longhorn Stadium in Austin, Texas. It seats 100,000 people. Everyone that God appoints will be there. That's how you do good in the world. So many people write to me and say, Tex, I give out your material. I tell these things to people. They laugh at me. They scorn me. They ridicule me. I'm a failure. No, you're not. No, you're not a failure. You're a success. You're a great success. Everyone appointed. Destiny has placed those men and women and children in your path. Destiny. They could not escape it. And they will answer to someone greater than them, someone greater than everyone someday about their response to what you told them or what material or literature you gave them. You give a Bible to a man, he takes it up and rips it up right in your face and throws it on the floor. Says, I don't want your Bible. You walk away feeling bad. Oh, I'm such a failure I couldn't even convince that man to take a free Bible. You didn't fail anything. You answered the call of destiny, and so did he. I've told you before about meeting the meanest man in Texas prisons. They got some mean people in Texas prisons. Mean people. Murderers. They call him the meanest man in Huntsville, Texas. His name was Al Kinsey. He was a mean man. Well, when I met him, he was a nice guy. He'd come to know Jesus. Had a wonderful family. Put all his prison days behind him. His robbing liquor stores and all that stuff behind him. He said the reason he was the meanest man was because he hated God. And when they would try to give him tracts or literature or a Bible, his greatest joy, because he had the devil in him, was to just rip them into shreds and throw them back at him. That's what he did. You say he must have really had a good time doing that. No, he didn't. He was a miserable man. He was miserable. He was miserable. Unhappy. Finally decided to take his life. Took his gun, went to the top of a mountain here in Austin, Texas, called Mount Bonnell, determined to kill himself. Well, thank God he didn't. He came off the mountain. He said, a voice came to me and said, I'll take your life when I decide, not when you decide. He said, is that you, God? And the voice said again to him, I am. And I'll take your life whenever I decide. What would you do if you were fixing to kill yourself? You had a gun pointed to your head. You had nothing to live for. You're out of prison. You know you're going to return again because you're a bad man. You're going to rob other stores. You're going to hurt other people. You decide to kill yourself. You go to the top of Mount Bonnell. They got a beautiful view there, by the way, from Mount Bonnell. You can see all of Austin, the countryside. But he wouldn't worry about it. The view, it was nighttime. He couldn't see a thing. He intended to kill himself. And the voice said, I'll let you die when I decide. Al Kinsey was shocked. He put his gun down. And he descended from that mountain. And, well, I'd like to tell you the whole story sometime. Maybe I'll have my friend Al come on this show. He's a great family man today. A lovely man. He lifted his pants legs. He has scars all over his legs, all over his shin and his calf. He said, you see this, Tex? I said, my goodness, how'd you get that? He said, well, one time I escaped from Huntsville. You don't escape from Huntsville. They caught me in the woods there with their dogs. After they caught me, so they all got in a circle, all the guards and the police got in a circle. And then they threw me in the circle and they sicked their dogs on me. And they let their dogs eat on me for about 30 minutes. I had to fight those dogs off. Couldn't run away because I'd go to the circle and they'd just throw me back in. Those dogs were after me. I said, well, golly, Al, you should have got the ACLU or somebody. I mean, it was some civil rights lawyer. He said, oh, they all would lie. This is what they did when you escaped back in those days. But you know what he told me then? He said, it was good for me. I should have learned a lesson. But I didn't. His lesson came from Jesus. Well, okay. Let's talk about... These are miracles of God, friend. You have to admit. These are miracles. Can you imagine Al Kinsey? He manages an Arby's restaurant today. He got an honorable job. Wonderful family. His daughter became a missionary. Members of a lovely Bible church. Miracles of God. And God can do a miracle in your life. Now, see secrets. Guess what? They're in Houston, Texas. Ah, Houston, Texas. The same city where Osteen says that the Almighty Father has raised up a lesbian. And he's asking to give her supernatural powers. Well, Planned Parenthood is ecstatic. They are so thrilled. They have bought up a huge skyscraper, Planned Parenthood, people that do all the abortions. And guess what they're going to turn the skyscraper into? An abortion super center. You know, like Walmart super centers, Target super stores. Now there's going to be a abortion super center, a towering skyscraper in Houston, Texas that used to be a bank. Has now been bought up by Planned Parenthood and turned into an abortion super center. I understand they're going to have abortion super centers all over America in all the cities. You go into a city and one of the biggest buildings there will be an abortion soup center. One-stop shopping for abortionists. Fly into the city if you're from out of town. Go right, be taken by taxi, and kill your baby. Now, how are they going to get the money to build these things? Well, first of all, friends, you know that Planned Parenthood gets money from the federal government right now today through grants. So the government is paying for abortion, regardless of their lies that they're not. Meanwhile, there's an organization called the United Way, and it funds Planned Parenthood. If you give to United Way, in addition to helping some good agencies, Salvation Army, all these other groups, a certain portion of their money goes to pay to kill babies. That's why I wouldn't give, if I were you, don't give a dime to United Way. Not a dime. But find out about, I'm not asking you not to give. I think you should give directly. If you want to give to an agency, whether it's an orphan's home, we have our Texas Children's Home you can give to. We know they exist to help those children learn about Jesus. If you want to give to them, fine. Give to us. We'll give it to them. We won't take any, not even a penny out of what you give to us. We'll make sure it gets to the Texas Children's Home in Miracle Boys Farm. But listen to me. Don't give to United Way, because every dollar you give, so much of it goes to Planned Parenthood and these other Antichrist organizations. But that's not why they're building these abortion super centers in cities across America, starting with Houston, Texas. It's because of President Obama, Speaker of the House Nancy Pelosi, Senate Majority Leader Reid, and all the liberals in Congress that are going to give us this Obama Medicare program. Not Medicare, but just medical care. It does fund abortion. Now, and by the way, the plan is to give 35 million illegal aliens free medical care. Illegal aliens and abortion. Obama, that slick gangster, says, oh no, not one cent will go for abortion. Lie, lie. And they're slobbering at the mouth, these abortion groups. Planned Parenthood says, wow, we're going to get billions now. Because they don't have to operate off of just, you know, grants. From now on, when a young lady goes in and has an abortion through Planned Parenthood at this abortion super center in Houston and these other cities, the federal government will pay for the operation, pay for the medical services, pay for her rehab and her care, everything. They're going to get rich. Billions. And guess who's going to pay for it? You, the taxpayer, me. Thank you, Obama, Pelosi, and all you other jerks, for these abortion super centers that now will be built. My friends, depopulation is the name of the game. They want to kill us all. This is a game of Satan. The thief comes to steal and destroy, Jesus said. These are thieves, and they've come to destroy little children, and they're going to do it with us paying for it. It's bad enough doing it, but then they're making us, Christians and patriots, pay for it. If you don't rattle some cages on this one, you are not a man, and you're not a Christian woman either. Did you hear what I just said? If you don't rattle cages on this one, then Ted Turner was right. Christians are losers and bozos. But I'm going to tell you something, friends. Real Christians aren't. Real Christians are fighters. They're not murderers. Get the difference? They're fighters for truth. And their weapons are not carnal, but mighty. All the way to the pulling down of vain imaginations and strongholds that Satan has created. And Obama's medical care program and these abortion super centers are indeed satanic strongholds throughout America. Let's pull them down. And let's do it with the word of truth. It's mightier than the sword. Let's take a break. Be right back right after this brief message. Oh, I got so many secrets. Got them all stored up. Right back. Well, dear friends, we're going to have a Liberty and Truth Conference here in Austin, Texas. Liberty and Truth Conference in Austin, Texas. It's going to be held the second weekend in April, I believe it is. And you'll be seeing it show up, all the information on our website, powerofprophecy.com. I want to invite you to it, Liberty and Truth Conference. Now, we've really never had our own conference here. And this one, we're co-sponsoring American Free Press. You know, the newspaper people, they've asked us to co-sponsor a conference with them. And I'm glad to. And I suggested it be right here in Austin, Texas. Sort of easy to get to. Austin's a beautiful city. And we will arrange with the airport hotel, the Airport Hilton. Very nice, luxurious hotel. But you don't have to be a fancy Dan person to stay there. You wear whatever clothes you want and just come. It'll be there at the Airport Hilton, and we've arranged for a special rate, just $99 a night, plus, you know, all these little taxes and fees they throw on, but less than $100 a night there. They have a restaurant in there, but there's also a Denny's and fast food restaurants, you know, Jack in the Box and all the others all up and down the street there. So you can just, you know, fly into Austin, Texas, and then just get off the plane and go right over to the Airport Hilton, right at the airport. And you stay there the whole conference if you wanted to, or you get a car or something, or maybe a friend will take you around and see Austin, Texas. It's a capital, has a beautiful downtown area, just a lovely city. Think you'll enjoy being here in April. Everything will be blooming at the time, all the flowers and the plants and all that. The bats will probably be hiding in their caves. We do have a lot of bats here, but they'll be hiding in their caves probably. So come to Austin, Texas. Put it on your calendar, will you? The second weekend, actually it'll be on a Saturday, the second Saturday, I believe it is. I'll give you the date and everything next week because I want you to know all about it. You don't have to stay at the Airport Hilton. You can stay at any. You can stay at a Motel 6 or something. There's all kind of motels and hotels up and down the highway there. But we have arranged these special rates at the Airport Hilton. But just let them know that you're going to be part of the conference, TexMars Conference. So, again, I wanted to let you know, give you a heads up. In April, of course, you can drive. There's plenty of parking there for you. They don't charge you for the parking at the Airport Hilton. So you have plenty of parking there and such. So if you're from Texas, Louisiana, Oklahoma, one of the neighboring states, or, hey, I don't care if you're from New York State or Washington or Oregon or Idaho, drive on down. Make a beautiful drive, would it, in April? Come on down to see us here. And we're going to have about probably 7 or 8 speakers. And I'm privileged to be one of them. I don't know who all is going to be speaking, but we're setting up the speaking folks now. But it's going to be some very impressive people, book authors. And the theme will be the future of America, Liberty and Truth Conference. Let's just call it the first annual Liberty and Truth Conference. And our nation is in a real pickle. We're in a real bind today. And we need some answers. And I'm going to invite speakers here that have answers. A lot of interesting, exciting speakers, but I don't care about them. I don't care if a guy tells a good joke or not. I want some answers for people about the finances, about our Constitution, about the future of the Christian church. Are we turning into a communist socialist nation? What's Rothschild got planned for America? All these things you need to know. So put that on your docket, would you? In April. I think it's the weekend after Easter. We're not going to mess with Easter. I know Easter actually is not the actual date anyway of the real Easter when Jesus rose from the grave. But nevertheless, a lot of people do celebrate on Easter, even though it was named after the pagan goddess Ishtar of Babylon. But on the other hand, Jesus is true, and Jesus did rise from the grave. So, if you want to honor it on that day, that's good, but we don't conflict with that. It's the weekend after that, the Saturday. It's all day, one day. Start in the morning, go to that evening. You're dog tired, but you love everything you've seen and heard and all the people. Wonderful folks. Wanda will be there. My whole staff is going to be there. And you'll want to meet Jerry Barrett, Michelle, Hallmark, Sandra, Myers, Rosario Velasquez. And all kinds of good folks there from our ministry. Cammie Snyder will be there. I'm probably missed several names here. Forgive me, but I'll tell you all about it later on. And the good folks of American Free Press will be there. I'm not sure all who, but maybe Michael Collins, Piper, Victor Thorne. I hope he comes. Willis Carto, the boss man there. He's a good man. He's going to come too. And we'll just have a great time together, telling the truth, promoting liberty. The first annual Liberty and Truth Conference, sponsored by American Free Press and Power of Prophecy. By the way, you can phone us starting next week. Give us about another week to get everything together. Give us about a week or so, and we'll have a little packet or something for you. And they'll give you a list of the hotels and how to contact them, and, you know, so you make all your arrangements and everything. Okay? Call us here toll-free, 1-800-234-9673. Wait a week. By the way, that number, 1-800-234-9673, that's where you can order my new book, Conspiracy World, 432 big format pages. My newest book. A lot of people are already writing me and saying they love it, and I appreciate that. Conspiracy World. It's online, powerofprophecy.com. You can order it there. But you can order it direct from us by phoning toll-free to 1-800-234-9673. Now let's return to our regular program. And this is the volume of secrets. Although I've been doing a lot of preaching, I hope it's been okay with you. Hope you don't mind too much. But I think it's good every once in a while. You know, you just can't keep a man of God down. And I want to be a man of God. And that's my greatest glory. Not how many secrets I know, but what I believe about Christ and what I'm willing to share. And I'm willing to share everything I know about Christ. It's just that it would take so many hours, I don't have enough time. But I'd like to. Well, animals being killed in religious rituals across the United States, according to the Associated Press, at a house in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 400 dead animals were recently found. Officer George Bingle said they were shocked, and investigators have spent many hours now combing through the house in the nearby Feltonville neighborhood of Philadelphia. The animals, he says, had apparently been used in some kind of religious ritual. Wow. 400 animals dead. Deer, turtles, dogs, cats. Meanwhile, another news report says that animal sacrifices are on the increase in established religions. Judaism, they sacrifice chickens to this day on Yom Kippur. The Jews do. The Santeria people sacrifice all kind of animals. Supreme Court ruled it's okay for them to sacrifice dogs and cats, sheep, goats. Unbelievable. And then there's the voodoo. And then there's just the witches and the Satanists and so forth. It's gotten so bad, friends, that humane shelters and dog pounds and such across America, many of them are refusing to adopt out dogs and cats on certain high holy days of Satanists and witches. Because they know these dogs or cats are being picked up by the sheds, not by families that want a loving pet, but by those evil men and women who want to sacrifice them to the devil. Unbelievable. Some good friends on the San Antonio, Texas police force told me, Tex, on Halloween. Yeah, it's like Halloween, you know, like Hollywood. I should change the name. But in any case, on Halloween, they said, after Halloween, we always find the remains of hundreds of animals, burnt sacrifices, in little trails and woods and the creek areas all around the environs around San Antonio. The whole city combed by satanic and witchcraft sects. Isn't that astonishing to you, friends? Things are going on. Now, meanwhile, Christmas was celebrated at the White House, you know, last month, and guess what? It looks like transvestites and Mao Zedong were honored on the White House Christmas tree. That's right. You may not believe this, but I have been able to confirm it. And the White House pegged a controversial designer named Simon Doonan to oversee the Christmas decorations for the White House, for Michelle and Barack Obama and their daughter's family tree. Now, you may be interested to know the kind of ornaments. Now, remember I told you that Osteen was basically blaspheming the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, and Jesus, about what he did about the lesbian mayor at the inaugural. Well, I think that's exactly what the Obamas did here. Did you know that they placed ornaments on the Christmas tree that had the image of communist dictator and mass murderer, butcher, Mao Zedong? I've got a picture of one of them right here. White House ornament for the Christmas tree in the blue room of the White House. That's not all. There were pictures of a transvestite, he, she, that's a flaming, flamboyant type of person. Evidently, she's a big stage act among the gay crowd. Her name is a makeup, made-up name, Hedda Lettuce. H-E-D-D-A, Lettuce. Hedda Lettuce. Legendary transvestite, they call her. Her image, her, he, whatever it is, on the Christmas tree ornaments, the little bulbs at the White House. Now, when Hillary and Bill Clinton were at the White House, they actually had little miniature penises and things like that hanging from the White House tree. And remember, Katie Couric did a little tour of the White House? She never showed you that, did she? Hillary took her around. They showed you like a little, you know, like 30 feet away, this towering green White House Christmas tree. And Hillary said, "Isn't it lovely, Katie?" And little perky Katie said, "Ooh, yes." But they should have panned the camera in real close and you could have seen the little male penises hanging down. Things like that. They hate Jesus. They hate God at this White House and at the Clinton White House. Now, the Bush family didn't do this. Not because they love Jesus so much. After all, Laura Bush collected money to rebuild the statue of Buddha in Afghanistan. And she told the Dallas Public Library that her favorite Texas production was the Best Little Whorehouse in Texas play. And she promoted, every chance she got, abortion. So don't think they were Christians either. It's just that they had all these Christians that voted for George. So he decided he better not put little penises and Mao Zedong and Hedda Lettuce type things on the White House tree. Well, thank you, George. Well, 2012 is coming up and the New Age groups are out of the closet again. And they're saying this is going to be bigger than the harmonic convergence of 20 years ago. This is the big one, they say. They said that was just preparation. Remember the harmonic convergence when hundreds of millions of New Agers and occultists from around the world held hands and went om, om to their god or energy goddess or whatever? Well, now 2012 has come up, and they say that that's the end of the Mayan calendar. You know, the Mayans and the Aztecs and the Incas down in Mexico and Central and South America. There's a Mayan calendar, and the last date on it is December 21, 2012, and they say that's the end of the world as we know it. End of the world is coming. But what we're going to do is we're going to have a new world. We're going to catapult through quantum physics into a new age kingdom. The Rothschilds love it. It's their Talmudic, Kabbalistic kingdom. The New Agers, the occultists love it, and they all say their Christ is coming. The Buddhists are looking for their Lord Maitreya. The Muslims are looking for their Imam Mahdi. The Jews are looking for their Messiah, Lucifer. Although they have some other, you know, the new King David, I think they call him. Well, I know one thing. Jesus is not coming that year. If he is, he's going to wait till all the hoopla and all the celebrations are over. Then he's going to shock everybody and come. The Bible says no man knows the day nor the hour when our Lord cometh again. Maybe you can know the year. I don't know, but the Bible doesn't tell you you can. I'm not going to predict the year, but surely these are just signs of his coming. And great earth catastrophes are going to occur. The world, the planet may shift on its axis. Even Einstein said that could occur. It might. All these things might occur. Super volcanoes, an asteroid striking the earth. It can happen. The Bible talks about signs in the heavens and the stars, and pillars of smoke and fire here on earth below. Wow. So, you know, they may be right in all that. And it may mean a new age world comes. Some new agers say the Christians will have to leave, though. they're going to be departing. They're not fit. They don't have the correct karma. You don't fit in. You're inferior species, you Christians and patriots, you nationalists, you people that still believe in Jefferson and Washington and the principles of the Bill of Rights. How dare you remain on this planet? You will have to leave. You will have to abandon this planet, and you're going to go into some other fourth dimension or something so you can be taught the love, the harmony of the New Age movement. And 2012 is the date, they say. And Quetzalcoatl is who the Aztecs, Kukulcan, the Mayans call him. Quetzalcoatl, their Messiah. That's the name they gave the plumed serpent god of the Aztecs. He was a flying serpent. You know, I think he is coming. I think they could be right. It might be 2012. Yeah, you can quote me on this. He could come. Quetzalcoatl. Because the Bible talks about that old dragon, the serpent, also named Satan. And he is coming. And he's going to have miracles. And he's going to deceive the whole world by those miracles. Yeah, quote me. I don't know if he's coming in 2012, but he's coming. And Paul said in 2 Thessalonians 2, before Jesus comes, he and his Antichrist son, S-O-N, come. And he goes, this Satan incarnated man goes into a temple in Jerusalem and declares that he's God and above all gods, and the world believes the lie, the strong delusion. But not the few, not the overcomers. The Bible says they make war with the beast. We're the only one that want to make war with the beast, because the whole world says, who could possibly make war with him? That's Revelation 13. Who could possibly make war with him? It's getting that point about the United States in it. Who could possibly make war on the superpower? Can Iran? Can Iraq? Can Afghanistan? Can Pakistan? Can Lebanon? Can the Palestinians? No. Can North Korea? Uh-uh. No one can make war against the beast. But the Christians say, we will. We can. To use Obama's words, yes, we can. But they just mean it in a totally different way than Mr. Obama means it. 2012, it's on its way. I'm going to do more on this 2012 issue, friends, in coming weeks. And I believe some amazing things are going to happen leading up to 2012, and shortly after 2013. There is coming a new world, an evil, satanic kingdom. I discuss it in my books, Codex Magica, but particularly Mysterious Monuments. They're building an architectural colossus. By the way, in Codex Magica, I show the actor of Star Trek, Leonard Nimoy, you know, Mr. Spock. And he would always give that Vulcan sign with his, or salute with his hand, a greeting, the Vulcan greeting. He admits, of course, and you can see this on Google, there's a video on it now where Leonard Nimoy is interviewed, and he says, yes, I got it from the Jewish Kabbalah. I learned about giving this sign in the Jewish synagogue. He's a Jew, you see. By the way, it's the letter Shin from the Jewish alphabet. That's what it is. But it has a specific meaning. Ah, yes. It means the unholy trinity of the serpent. That's the meaning of the Shin sign, the alphabet. Letter in the Jewish alphabet, Hebrew alphabet, that is. So when you give Leonard Nimoy, Mr. Spock's sign, you're saying, may the serpent bless you. He's my God, and may he, the God of the Jews, bless you. Ah, yes. I think that's the same serpent the Aztecs call Quetzalcoatl. The feathered, the plumed, feathered serpent god. But of course, we Americans would have nothing to do with Quetzalcoatl, would we? Could we? Oh, yes. In fact, dear friends, I have a photograph of Quetzalcoatl, the serpent god. And a great figure of his sits in a town square in San Jose, California. and it was paid for by the city's taxes. The city fathers of San Jose, about 7 years ago, erected a statue of a serpent god, Quetzalcoatl, in San Jose, California. You cannot erect a cross with public monies. You can't even with your own money erect a cross on government land. But in San Jose, the city fathers erected a serpent, and they call it Quetzalcoatl, so that they can honor the culture of the wonderful Aztecs. You know, the ones that in 1 4-day period sacrificed 20,000 prisoners to their sun god. Oh my goodness. They're honoring those human sacrificing devils who actually ate the flesh of their victims, whose heart they tore out. That's America today. Erecting statues of the serpent god, of the devil Aztecs, giving honor to it, and doing it with your taxpayer dollars. And now there's these abortion super centers they're building around America, including Houston, Texas, being the first by Planned Parenthood, going to be paid for with our taxpayer dollars. Murder! Oh, boy. Well, more. President Carter is apologizing to the Jews. President Carter is apologizing to the Jews. He sent out a message over the Christmas holidays, and he says all those bad things he's been saying about Jews in his books, he's sorry for them. He offers his apology. What a wimp, President Carter. Listen, friends, President Carter has done some good things. Yes, he's built houses with Habitat for Humanity, and he's been involved in peace negotiations. But basically, he's just a cowardly little shrimpy wimp. I knew the man was a fake. You know how? Because he's pro-abortion. He's pro-homosexual. How do I know that? He said so. And he can't stand conservative Christians. He said that too. You're the evil person, you fundamentalist. You people who take the Bible literally, you're very evil, says Carter. Well, you know, the strange thing is he said the truth about the Jews, but now he's apologized to them. Oh, boy. Why would he do this? Well, they put a lot of pressure on him, but get this. It just so happens that his grandson, Jason Carter, has announced he's going to run for the Georgia State Senate seat, being vacated by President Barack Obama's nominee to be U.S. Ambassador to Singapore. Uh-huh. That's his grandson, Jason Carter. And by the way, there's going to be a march, just in March now, just another 2 months, election in this Northeast Atlanta, Georgia district. So Jason Carter, his grandson, is running for Congress. It just so happens that district is a very luxurious, very affluent, where affluent people live, who are mostly Jewish. Da-da-da. Get it? His grandson wants to be a congressman from a Jewish district in Atlanta. So President Carter has offered his apologies to the Jews for those rough things he said about what they've been doing to the Palestinians in Israel. He's so sorry. And by the way, would you please vote for my grandson, Jason Carter, you Jews? After all, I've apologized, you idiot. They don't care about your apologies. They're not going to vote for your grandson anyway. They hate you because you once did it. Never forgive, never forget. Every Israeli prime minister has said that's their motto. Never forgive, never forget. That is exactly opposite what the Christian attitude is. Jesus says, forgive, forget. The Jews say, never think about it. Well, folks, are you a black man? Are you a Mexican man? Maybe a woman? Have you failed your police exam? You want to be a policeman, but you can't pass the exam? Have I got a deal for you? Chicago Police Department is now seriously considering scrapping the police entrance exam. To bolster the minority hiring, they say, you know what? Black people and other minorities can't seem to pass this exam. So how do they solve that problem? Too many white people are becoming policemen in Chicago. Of course, they're the most qualified. They pass the exam. The Chicago Police Department said, well, one way to do it is just get rid of the exam. I like that. You know, I was a professor at a university, and I knew a professor went to that same, you know, taught at that school. He was a sociology professor. And I heard some scuttlebutt, and one day I just asked the professor about it. I said, I heard some students chatting over the student union hall, and they said they got good grades from you because they're black. Is that true? He said, well, as a matter of fact, Mr. Mars, it is. I said, really? How did that happen? He said, well, they've been discriminated against all their life, and I just feel like they deserve college degrees. I said, well, what if they don't go to your class? What if they don't even take your test? Will you still give them a passing grade? I will, he said. That's great. You can get a college degree now by being black. You can become a policeman. But now listen, if you live in Chicago and you need a qualified policeman, don't call 911. They'll send you out some yokel who couldn't pass his test. If something bad happens to you, like a murder in your family or a robbery, don't expect help from these dummies at Chicago Police Department. They got their job through affirmative action. They don't have to pass a test. Oh, man. Hey, some people asked me about Jim Mars. He's a great writer. He's written books exposing UFOs, the New World Order. Tex, are you related to Jim Mars? Are y'all one and the same persons? No, we're not. I'm much more handsome than Jim. No, that's not. Jim, I apologize. Actually, my wife, Wanda, said you guys look just alike. He does have a beard and everything. Wanda said if he shaved off his beard, Jim and you would look just alike. Jim is a Texan like me. And, you know, we've talked several times, Jim and I. He's a great guy. He's a great researcher, investigator. And other than not being as handsome as me, did I say that again? I said it again. Jim, I'm sorry. It just keeps coming back. But other than that, that's the third time it is. Other than that, Jim is a wonderful man. And, he and I have agreed we must be cousins. If your name is M-A-R-R-S, that probably makes you cousins, especially if you live in the state of Texas. So we're cousins. All right. Not kissing cousins. I only kiss Wanda. And Jim, you can't kiss her, even though she said you do look a little bit like me. But, anyway, Jim, I respect him very much. He's a good man. And I like his books. All right. What else we got here? Surely there's something. Oh my goodness. Yeah, a lot of people are asking me about Obama. Did he start off being a plant of the CIA? Oh yes. The CIA helps these communist groups and watches over them, sponsors them. And the CIA knew about Obama and gave him his first job out of Occidental College, California. That's right. That's why they don't let you know anything about the history of the Obama. White House press corps has been told, do not ask about Obama's first jobs out of the university, because the first job he got was with a CIA front organization or group called the Business International Corporations, BIC. It's a global financial and political information company that's a front for the CIA. He's a CIA man. But Clinton was too. And George Bush Sr. was too. The CIA is owned by Zionists, by the Rothschilds. And they're going to put in power whoever they want. The CIA, absolutely. This is Tex Mars. You've been listening to Power of Prophecy. It's been great to be with you today, giving you some secrets, looking at things that most people know nothing about, but I'm very privileged to pass these facts on to you. Until next time, my great desire and prayer is that you'll tune in and discover the power of prophecy.